glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday. It's September 15th, 2014. I'm excited to introduce you to two special guests that are in the studio with me. But first, a couple quick announcements. This Saturday, September 20th at 9 a.m., come join with other people that love to pray for our East Central Illinois communities as the Champaign County National Day of Prayer Task Force, along with prayer warriors throughout the area or people that just love to pray, will be gathering at the Denny's Restaurant, 702 West Town Center Boulevard in Champaign. We'll be specifically praying for the village of St. Joseph, but come join us for a great time of fellowship. And you don't have to order a breakfast when you're at Denny's. You can come and have a cup of coffee or some juice or ice water, but come out at 9 a.m. this Saturday, September 20th. Also, dependent on the time you hear this broadcast, whether you're here in the morning edition of Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. Central Time, there may still be room for you to join us tomorrow night for the Pregnancy Resource Center fundraising banquet with special guest Rick Santorum, and the Singing Men of GNN will be opening up the evening with four or five selections. It'll be a great evening, and we appreciate Greta Henry and the work that this Pregnancy Resource Center does. So if you need more information and to see if you can still register, call 217-398-6511, 217-398-6511. Also, quick kudos to the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, as this past weekend they've been celebrating 150 years. So thank you, God, for the faithfulness of the pastors that have served here these many years. We appreciate Randy Gauger so much and the great work that they're doing, along with allowing the Singing Men of GNN to sing there on Monday nights. And so come join us tonight, men, 7 to 9 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy.
Well, Marcia, I'm going to begin with you right away, because as we prayed up this program, you started giving an illustration about faith. And I told you about some of my friends that are skeptics or atheists and sometimes hostile to my Christian faith. And yet I delight in always replying, hey, you guys have way more faith than me, because for you to believe that we just evolved out of primordial slime with no purpose or direction to take, that we're no better than ants or amoebas or little organisms that, according to your mindset, just evolved over billions of years. And I delighted in the example that you gave me. And knowing some of your faith journey, I thought maybe we'd have you share something that you spoke to one of your sons years ago about how there is a God behind things, and sometimes we have faith that we don't even know we have. So share that little illustration. I thought it was a pretty good one for our listeners to begin this week on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Well, my son came up to me one day when he was 13 or so, and he said, Mom, I don't understand how you can have faith in God. And I said, well, let's talk about it. And we went into the kitchen, and I said, Chris, turn the light on. And so he went over, and he flipped the switch, and then I said, have a seat. And he sat down, and I said, well, it's too light in here. Turn the light off for me, would you? So he got up and he turned the light off, and then he flopped back down, and I'm like, huh, now it's a little dark. Would you turn the light on again? And by then he's getting a little annoyed with me, so he goes in, he flips the light on. I said, now have a seat. And he flops down as hard as he could. And I didn't say anything for a couple seconds, and then I looked at him and I said, I thought you told me you didn't have any faith. And he looked at me, and he's like, Mom, what are you talking about? And I said, well, think about it. When you turn the light on and off, you just assumed that it was going to go on when you flipped the switch. And I said, when you sat down in the chair, not one time did you turn the chair upside down to see if whoever put it together had put it together strong enough to hold your weight. And I said, you know, if you've got enough faith in two men that you'll never meet to know that they did their jobs right, that you can just flip on a switch and turn on a light or sit in a chair and not fall to the floor, how can you not have faith in the God who created you?
Hmm. And I think he was a little speechless at that point, huh? Or did the wheels start turning in his head? Well, with me on today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I'm thinking in light of our recent lunchtime at the Texas Roadhouse, one of my favorite restaurants to take future guests to and then hear some of their faith journey and their love story and their testimony. In light of all that we got to cover and share after our lunch, I'm thinking it's going to probably be a Monday-Tuesday broadcast. So we'll see how everything works out today. But with me in the studio is Calvin and Marcia Dreger. They live in our area, in fact, the Champaign-Urbana area right now. You've been married 36 years. You have two grown children, I guess, what, 21 and...
I wish.
They're older than that.
Oh, older than that? Okay, and they're...
34 and 32 this
34
year.
And 32. Actually, I've known you, Calvin, for I've known of you, I guess we met 20-something years ago, I think, when you were working for Fox TV.
Right.
And you did a story, or you helped coordinate me coming in and sharing about the radio ministry when we were being birthed.
Right. Basically, I was working as an account executive, but because of my background, they also had me being an assistant producer of a public affairs program called Tuning In. So we had to get guests, and they would run it on Sunday morning. And I heard about this new station coming on the air, Great News Radio, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this guy on the air. So I invited you on the air, and I think we filmed it like a week before you went on the air. So.
Yeah, that would have been back in like April of 1996.
April 8th.
Okay, good memory, because, yeah, we went on the air Easter Sunday.
Right, it was Easter Sunday, April 8th, and I remember watching the program like, well, we should be on the air now if you want to tune in, you know.
And then, wow, yeah.
You only had one station back then, and now you've grown.
In fact, the unique thing about WGNN, that was our first station.
Right.
We wanted the GN for good news. Mm-hmm. Now it's great news, great but news. Initially, and I couldn't say this, but I envisioned that the Lord would bring along other stations at some point. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, I couldn't say we're your good news network because we were a station of one.
Station,
But now that God has raised up the three additional frequencies, we have our four frequencies. Like sometimes we'll reference on a radio spot, we're your good news network. Yeah, thank you, God. That was like, I guess 18 and a half years ago that we first met up. But it wasn't until recently, in fact, this past Saturday at the Wellness and Fitness Fair, you and Marcia came through. I don't think, Marcia, we had met up before in all these years. But we got talking, and the Wellness Fair was such a success. In fact, I'm still trying to gain my voice back. I think for 4 or 5 straight hours, I was talking to people that continued to come up to our table, fill out Voice Listener Radio surveys, and then talk with me and my assistant, Mary Mosser, which was a gem. She volunteered the whole 4 or 5 hours. She was there early, helped me set up. And I just remembered I promised that I would pull off some prize drawing winners, people that filled out Voice Listener Radio survey. So before I get into some more of your testimony, Marcia, and then some of your faith journey, Calvin, here's a bucket full. Just pull out like 8 or 10 of these, and we'll pull out their names, and I'll assign some books or ministry CDs or resources. So each of you grab 5 or 6 or 7. Just leave a couple in there. I don't know. There's we can do a bunch here. I have so many prizes in that cabinet. So
there's quite a few.
Okay. Yeah. Pull them all out. Right, yeah. We're going to read off some names. Those of you that visited Lincoln Square Mall this past Saturday, we had a table set up with radio program guides, surveys, magnets, bookmarks, and information about trips to Israel. And so it was a delight to meet so many of you. And so Karen's going to have a whole fistful of new names to enter into our database. But we'll pick out some books or radio resources to mail out in the next few days. So the first winner, Calvin, is...
Connie Thompson.
Connie Thompson, thank you.
Of Monticello.
Monticello, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Connie, we'll send something to you in the coming days.
Jeannie Grady from Urbana, Illinois.
Jeannie Grady, thanks for filling out Voice Listener Radio Service. In fact, I had just a wonderful time meeting so many of the listeners or people that are Facebook friends and saying, oh, I love that photograph of you and Esther, who I adopted a little over a week ago, or the family photo. And so a lot of people were saying, hey, do you have other photos than the Facebook photos? Or other people told me stories. And in fact, on Wednesday, I recorded a number of these people doing radio spots. And so I think I'm going to do a montage. I haven't had time today yet, and it'll probably take me, you know, a couple hours tomorrow, but by Wednesday, I'll probably have some of the voices. But all to say that you guys stopped by the table, we started talking, you told me some of the faith journeys. I said, hey, let's get together on Sunday, have a meal, let me hear some more. And so over probably today and tomorrow, we'll share some of those stories. But some more winners
I have one here, Janice Kleiss of Champaign.
Great. Congratulations. Yeah. Thanks for filling out the Voice of Listener Radio Survey.
Cindy Wendell of Farmer City.
All right. Farmer City listeners, we appreciate you.
Okay, another one from Champaign, Christine Johnson.
All right.
Pat Sadler of Urbana, Illinois.
Pat, thank you.
And to our Muhammad listeners, Gail Zules.
Gail Zules. Yeah. Oh, her and Elmer. Do you know
Gail,
those two?
Yes.
Oh, they're a wonderful couple.
Marty Dodge of Muhammad.
Marty, okay.
Jim Esworthy of Ogden.
Jim, I know a bunch of these. In fact, yeah. You probably
met him out there.
Yeah, got to meet almost everyone. I said, fill out these Voice of Listener Radio surveys. You're almost guaranteed to win a prize. I said, I have so many things in the prize cabinet to give away, so...
Barbara A. Withers of Paxton.
Barbara, congratulations.
And it's, I guess, our final winner here. We go all the way to Paxton, Darlene Beaumont.
Great, great. All right. I always try to tell people, tune in. If it's an event on the weekend, tune in on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and your name may be called over the air, and we'll have some good gifts to send out in the coming few days. Karen always asks me, Mark, all these gifts, we need more postage, we need mailers, we need more tape. So Karen will be working hard over the next few days to hand those out. Okay, back to the testimonies. That's part of what I appreciate about inviting guests into the studio. We pray up the program. We usually have some conversation time beforehand because I ask like special verses or significant stories or people that are at work in your life. And Marcia, I asked you to begin with some of that story about faith because you have an interesting personal testimony about Jesus being there even before you kind of even knew him. And it was through this artwork, through something that you would cling to when your parents, in a sense, abandoned you as they went out and carried on and drank, and maybe share some of that story. Because I know so many of our listeners are familiar with people that are alcoholics, whether it's a spouse or parents, or they grew up in a very dysfunctional family. Last week I had Hattie Kaufman share some of her story of where her parents would go on drinking bins and be gone for a day or two, and you know, how they had to carry on. And you had a similar upbringing where there were times where there was nobody there and you lived above a tavern of all places. And so how did you kind of begin to connect with God at an early age and take us through some of that faith journey where you learned to lean heavily into him because he had your best interest in mind, even though there was so much heartache and disappointment and neglect and agonizing times?
Well, my mother died when I was 4. And 6 months after she died, my dad remarried a lady who really didn't like kids. Mm-hmm. She was definitely an interesting person. Mom and Dad, we lived above a tavern. And Mom and Dad were always in the tavern below, and they would win things on something, I think they were called tip boards at the tavern. One of the things they won was this huge picture, and they brought it upstairs, and they shoved it behind the couch. They would never put it on the wall. Well, their habit was pretty much Friday after Dad got paid, and I was about 7 years old then. And my sister had been kind of farmed out and was babysitting full-time and living somewhere else. My brother was pretty much gone all the time with his friends. And so on Fridays, my parents would go out drinking, and they would come back Sundays. And so I was 7, and I was in this room or in this apartment by myself, terrified. Because at night there would be guys from the tavern that would be drunk and they'd lose their way and they'd be pounding on the door. Well, being 7 years old, I was just scared to death being home alone. And somehow I got into the habit where I would grab this picture and I would muscle it because it was about as big as I was, but I would muscle it out from behind the couch. And then I would lean it up against the couch with the picture part facing toward the couch. And then I would climb up on the couch, and I was really tiny for my age, and I would curl up into a little ball right in front of this picture, and I would put my hand out, and I would touch the face mm-hmm. of the man in the picture. I had no idea who this guy was. I didn't know anything about him. Well, for some reason, whenever I would put my hand on this guy's face, I would go to sleep. I wouldn't be afraid. And I'd sleep until morning. And it was years later I found out that it was actually a picture of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know as you recounted some of your faith journey, it wasn't until high school that somebody took an interest in you. I think there was a Bible study you were invited to.
Yeah.
What was some of that faith journey progression? Because here, in a sense, wow, here's a picture of Jesus, and yet you found peace just touching it, not even really knowing who he was. But, you know, I don't know how God was working at that, but he was giving you a peace or pursuing you in ways that he was caring for you when no one else was.
Yeah, I have no idea how he did it, but he did. And when I was a senior in high school, the president of our senior class invited me to a Bible study meeting. And I went, not because I was really interested in the Bible at that time or in Jesus. I was just so shocked that someone would speak to me like I was almost a human being.
Yeah, somebody was taking an interest in you.
Yeah, I mean, no one had ever done that. So I went to the Bible study meeting, and I wound up becoming a Christian, which didn't go over very well with my parents.
Yeah, I think you said as you returned and recounted, you have this newfound faith. Is that when they abandoned you or left, or you returned home and there wasn't a home to return to?
Well, it was really weird because I remember my stepmother was really angry and slapping me around one day. And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, I love you." And she slapped me in the face. And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, I still love you." And she hit me again. And this went on 3 or 4 times. And finally, I looked at her and I said, "Mom, I love you." And she raised her hand to hit me again. And all of a sudden, she got the most disgusted look on her face, and she goes, "Oh God, I think you do," and she turned around and walked away. And then I think it was about a week later, they knew I was going to stop by at the Bible study meeting before I walked home, and we lived way out in the country, so it was like a 2-mile walk or 3-mile walk for me to get there. And it would never occur to me to ask my parents to give me a ride, because I'd just get the tar beat out of me. So I walked home after the Bible study meeting, and the house was locked up and dark, and they were gone, and I wasn't allowed a key. So I sat down on the rock to wait, and I waited, and I waited, and finally about 1 in the morning, I think, our landlord, who had a trailer on the property, his light came on. And so I very timidly walked over and kind of tapped on his door, and he opened the door. And I said, "John, do you know where Mom and Dad are?" And he looked at me and he goes, "They moved." And he slammed the door in my face. And I was standing there and the door opened back up. And he goes, "These are yours." And he tossed out a garbage bag with some clothes in them and slammed the door again. And I picked it up and I kept thinking, I got to go to school in the morning. Where am I going to sleep? So I took my little garbage bag and I walked back into town, and probably about 3 in the morning I got back to the people where I'd gone to the Bible study meeting. And back then, I mean, it didn't occur to me to knock on their door at 3 in the morning and say, "Can I sleep here?" They had a closed-in porch, so I just took my garbage bag and I went up on the porch and I spread my garbage bag around and curled up on it, and the husband came out and found me asleep on the porch the next morning, and they let me live in their basement until I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm. And I know your story, though it's one of overcoming, there are a lot of obstacles and heartache and pain. And even as we talk, there's been some points where you don't even remember certain circumstances and incidences where maybe God just kind of protected you from having to take in the pain or the heartache or the great loss. But you've also made it to this point where you can look back and say, Mark, I've seen God work here and here and provide miraculous healing here. And in fact, it was just like a month ago that there was a chance you were going to die. And thank you, God, for your husband who's rescued you a few different times. But you've seen God. I mean, you can look back and say, yes, there's a lot of heartache and loss. And I know you're still even wrestling with self-confidence because you're doing some things with photography and with, like, creative cards that have, like, special messages on them that you're personalizing. And you're praying up maybe you'll move forward. But with some of the background, just coming to Christ doesn't mean everything miraculously became wonderful. I mean, there's still struggles, and yet you can look back and see that God provided health and healing and circumstance, and even this recent bout with the potential of you dying, though you have a great scar down the side of your neck, you saw God even work in there through circumstance, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've always thought of it as like there's living and existing. And sometimes things are bad and sometimes things are good, but it's much better than just existing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always figure that every new thing or trial that comes along is just, it's kind of exciting because it's just sort of an opportunity to see what God can do.
And grow your faith. I think we began talking about a message on the Sunday programming by Dr. Lutzer. He was talking about faith and prayers and how your faith has grown as you've seen God provide, even when you weren't even pursuing him as that little child, where even through that artwork, there was peace or contentment, or somehow God used that to give you security, even in the midst of insecurity. And so we're going to keep both of you in the studio. And Calvin, we're going to get to share some of your faith journey and how God has taken all of us. We're what, broken pottery, I think people have referenced, and yet he's brought you two together. You've been married 36 years, and if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Look for Calvin and Marcia Dreger. They live here in the Champaign-Urbana area, and we'll keep you both in the studio, and we'll continue our conversation and talk some more about your faith journey. So thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, and thanks for coming out to the homestead here, and we'll see how God will use these testimonies to fortify all of us in our own faith journeys.
Oh, thanks, Mark, for having us.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.